sound of Ariana Grande taking us over the threshold of 10 o'clock. It's a Wednesday, and it's time to get the wheels spinning as we head into the second ever edition of a motoring moment that we're getting to call Backfire. Boom, 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 boom. And look who's in the studio with us. It's the Backfire Boys, not the Backstreet Boys. Don't get it wrong. We've got Anton von Alleman, motorhead of note, petrol in his veins, and filling at least two-thirds of the studio with weighing in it. Let's not go there. But Anton, how are you doing this morning, my man?
Yeah, lovely, Mark. Awesome.
Keeping warm on a Wednesday.
Trying to keep warm, yeah.
Trying. Well, the man beside you, who I know recently tested some traction control through
Van Rielen's pass, yeah,
with the snow and the sleet, Dave McGregor, another man of motoring pedigree, and rounding out the Backfire gang on a Wednesday. How you doing, Dave?
100%. Great to get a little bit of black ice experience on Van Rielen's pass this past weekend. Just keeping the cutting edge sharp. So, yeah, a lot of fun. People wouldn't always classify it as fun, but I enjoyed it.
Well, hey, listen, better you than me, because I can think of nothing more terrifying than going into a corner skating over some black ice. But
it's a big skid band, man.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. If you know how to handle a vehicle, if you've been through your advanced driver's course, or if you fancy yourself as a sort of wannabe rally driver, well, this is your show. This is the show for you, because there's never been a more exciting time to talk about the world of motoring, motor vehicles, and all that it encompasses. And that little tune we just heard, Ariana Grande, taking us for a test drive. I believe you guys have just recently taken a new vehicle for a test drive. What are we putting in the spotlight this week on Backfire? Well, Anton, you take me. Take me behind the wheel.
Opel Grandland. Yeah, we went from an electric car to a sort of crossover SUV.
Very, very not electric car.
Yeah, it's Opel's take, obviously, sort of on that market. My take on it, let's wrap it up into a small box. I think Opel has stepped into the present with that vehicle. It's definitely a big step ahead for Opel. They're in the market. They are now competitive with what's around. So I was fairly impressed with it. A couple of things that really stood out for me that I think none of the others have. But again, it's the Chinese market is forcing the European manufacturers to come to the party. So it's exciting stuff. It's starting to come out of Europe as well.
Well, you both independently had a chance to get behind the wheel of the Grand Land. I mean, it's quite a name. You know, it's kind of makes a statement. But Dave, I want to find out from you. Do you have particularly warm feelings towards Opel as a brand, mark?
Let me tell you a couple of stories going back. First of all, my wife used to work at Sun International and had Opel as a client. So she thought that better have an actual company car that is Opel. So she got the Opel Monza soft top, and that car spent more time in the garage than a brand new car. I mean, it was the right thing to do, but she even took it to Hillbrow and left the keys in it, hoping that someone would nick it. And guess what? Nobody stole it. So, you know, I must say that in those days, Opel was, they were suspect. But then you had the Superboss. Remember the days of the Superboss taking on BMW? They brought out that Opel GSI, and it actually took on the BMW mark, and there was great racing in the sort of mid-90s with the Opel Boss. And I think with this vehicle, my impression was that they've reinvented themselves. They've actually made a comeback. It's good German technology in there, and for me it worked. I diplomatically would say I'd like to have another test drive of it, but I think they have reinvented themselves. There's quite a couple of things that are very nice. That, you know, on the front, the Opel badge lights up at night. It's a little bit, I don't know if I like the Opel lighting up at the back of the car. That seemed a bit quirky. But you know what? I think it's a good package.
Some interesting design decisions there that just kind of, love it or hate it, it sort of makes it stand. It makes you take notice again. I think that's what's been missing. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's different. Its body shape stands out from the Chinese. I mean, they're pretty generic. So I sort of enjoyed that. But to be honest, what stood out to me was that interior of that vehicle. It is different, but the seats.
Yeah. What is it about the seats?
They've got something different. Yeah. They, you know, they had a collaboration with a German chiropractic association that actually built those seats.
Serious.
And I'll be quite honest. This the most comfortable seats I've ever driven in a car, and that's really? What you know.
And you're a big guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, look, you can adjust that thing to any position you can think of, and it's it really really is good on the back. It's got seat warming as well.
Yep.
The little pillow, the little airbag pillows move around as well as sort of blow up and blow down, so you can get yourself into the perfect position.
That's a really interesting. Obviously, it's a very intentional decision, and they've decided we're gonna be known for. If we're gonna be known for something, let's go for that. Because you know, if you've had back surgery, or you know, if you've lived a life and sitting in a chair for an extended period of time, it really puts your back into a knot. That's a decision factor you're going to really consider, right?
Well, any open road driving, I mean, you get out of a car after 3 hours and you kind of stand up and say, well, okay, we're all getting older, but yes, you sort of stretch that back. You definitely won't pick it up in this. And then, of course, you've got the massage modes, which for the first time, I mean, I've seen them around, but they, you know, they've been a bit quirky. This one actually gets into your back. I can see it feels like someone pushing you in the back.
This seat really left an impression on Anto.
Guaranteed.
See, Dave didn't discover the massage function. Otherwise,
it's called driving by the seat of your pants.
I'd like go and sit in the driveway for an hour. You know?
All right. So this is the thing. You don't actually have to take the Grand Land for a test drive. You don't have to leave the showroom floor. Just ask them to switch on the seat, and that might be all that you need to seal the deal.
Yeah.
So this is the Opel Grand Land. And if you're an Opel fan from back in the day, or if you've been kind of wondering what they've been up to, this is a serious contender now. Maybe reason to put them back on the map. But I'm looking at the latest numbers and the latest stats and some really interesting trends starting to emerge in South Africa. And this past month, July, a really strong month. In fact, South Africa's new car market reportedly posting its strongest month in 12 years. Like, not just getting back to where we were just before COVID, but 12 years. In July 2026, apparently buyers registered 40,912 new passenger cars. It's the best month since September 2014, and 12.5% up on July last year. Total sales across all segments, it's an 11.9% rise. I'm reading here from Business Bagel, really good data they've compiled. But here's the really interesting thing. Looking at the top brands, there's a story being redrawn there. Toyota is still sitting comfortably at the top with 14,412 sales, but five Chinese brands now sitting in July's top 15. Chery, GWM, Jetour, Omoda, Jaecoo, and the all-electric BYD, which is speaking to some really interesting shifts in buying mentality. Electrified models or new energy vehicles, the industry's label for hybrids and fully electric, more than doubled in June from a year earlier. Roughly one in 17 new vehicles is now electrified. How's that? Hey, you can't deny it now. Yep. It's here. it's arrived, so to speak. But hey, listen, we're not really plugging in today. We're not really going too electric. If we're talking vroom vroom, what's happening on the motorsport front that's getting you excited at the moment?
Well, I think next year is what I'm looking forward to. There's some big changes. Yeah. I'll touch on the two-wheel side. We've got Brad Binder who's moving over to World Superbikes. Not official, hasn't signed on the paper, but it's pretty much signed and sealed. Moving over to BMW in World Superbikes, so that's exciting stuff.
That's a big change. Mm-hmm.
I think we can finally see him let loose, if we can put it that way. He's been a bit subdued in the KTM paddock. He's a wild rider, and they haven't quite ever built the bike that he needs. So I'm excited for that, and I'm also excited for MotoGP, because next year there's big changes. They're down on downforce. They're cutting all the downforce out. They're down on CC capacity. So it's going to be an interesting season next year. You know that we're going to have to start from scratch, as well as the paddock seats. The riding seats have been swapped around. There's some big changes between teams. Yep. So yeah, next year I'm looking forward to MotoGP. Looking forward to, obviously, our South African boys, Darren Binder in America in the sort of American Superbike Series on the Ducati is cleaning up. He's absolutely cleaning up, riding like a beast. You know, he's the last race, overtaking on the last lap. I mean, those he's a massive hit in America, so it's exciting.
Those Binder boys, hey, there's just no stopping
him from the thriving metropolis of Potchefstroom, nochals. I mean, you've got to hand it to them; they put us on the map.
Yay.
And you know, I thought just to sort of supplement what Anton was saying, Brad was loyal to KTM, but I don't think it was a two-way street. I think, you know, they really didn't give him the machinery that he needs for that talent. But anyway, I'm going to talk on the four-wheel categories of the Formula One. A little bit of a sojourn. They're on their midterm break at the moment, but very interesting to see that Malaysia is going to host the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Exactly. How does that work?
But you know what? I think it's a clever move by Bahrain to keep their place on the calendar, to say, okay, well, we, with all the challenges that are going on in the Middle East at the moment, they can actually host it in Malaysia and keep their place on the calendar and pay for everything, and it brings Malaysia back in. Very, very smart business move on their part. As we know, people in Pakistan played cricket in the Middle East when they were having problems at home. So it works. And I must say, Formula One is regaining ground. Young people are going. You look at the attendance records. I think at one in the last one at Silverstone, over 400,000 people attending over the 3 days of the Grand Prix. They've definitely got the young crowd back in, because it's become a bit like sim racing with all the different gizmos that they've got. And, it's looking good.
It's a great time to be getting into motorsport and just getting into the world of motoring in general. It seems like interest in the segment is at an all-time high. I don't know. It feels like it's more accessible now than ever. Maybe it is because of the gizmification of these things, and you don't have to know exactly how things work under the hood. You just kind of have to know how to push to start.
The following year, Formula One have got it right. When they first started, I know a lot of old school guys were like, "Oh, I don't like the way Formula One's going," when the Americans bought in. But you know what? They've brought it into the future or into the modern day. I mean, I know of a lot of people that follow Formula One that don't actually know much about the racing.
Yeah,
you know, there's so much going on behind the scenes. There's all those series that's going on. So the guys know everything about the drivers and everything that's going on, and they love it and they follow it.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the raw racing, they're actually not too clued up. So it's built a following, and you know what? Kudos to them. That's definitely brought it up into the present. So
yo. Well,
look. And you look at the Van der Linde brothers, what they're doing overseas as well in the DTM and Le Mans. 24 hours. So South Africans are up there. We punch above our weight. Look at Dakar. I mean, we create those gazooed Toyota vehicles here in South Africa, and they always do well. So we do. We're on the stage. Put it that way.
Well, there you go.
We need to talk to Bahrain about next year.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, where is the Dakar Rally now held? Because it's not in.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, exactly. Saudi Arabia.
So,
yeah.
So what is in a name actually?
I love it. Well spotted. Yeah.
This is the thing. And the world is so internationally connected now, and this part of the world, the KZN North Coast, where we're broadcasting from, seems to be attracting more and more international eyes and ears. And I mean, if you were down on the beach in the Blito Pro, how many different accents were you hearing?
Yep.
Looking at who's buying in to the exciting real estate opportunities that are rising out of the ground. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, somebody likes.
thanks for that.
But seriously, and that, you know, we mentioned Zimbali. Dave's very involved as a sales and marketing man extraordinaire. But there's a big focus on automotive and lifestyle as a part of the package there. And one particular development in particular, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, the one is called Avanti Residences at Zimbali Lake. So this is next level. As a petrol head, I still need to take Anton through it and actually show him around. So you've got two air-conditioned basements below the building. that bring your supercars. So a lot of people here on the KZN North Coast have got 4, 5, 6 supercars.
Anton's got
he's got a couple there. Yeah, he's got a couple. So, you know, you can't store these at home. We've got a partnership with Race in Johannesburg who do a white glove service for these cars. The guy spends 7, 8, 9 million rand on a supercar, another 3 or 4 million rand just pimping it, putting wheels on, getting it to right exhaust tones, etc. And that's what we're going to be doing at Avanti. So we've got a whole fitment center there.
Yo.
You park your cars in this air-conditioned white glove service, trickle charge. I mean, you know, your Ferrari battery goes flat. You can't jump start it. You've got to get a technician to come and reset everything.
Yeah.
So it'll be done. Wheels are rotated. It comes up on a lift from the basement, parked on the showroom floor. And above that, you've got Avanti residences, which are luxury apartments and penthouses for the guys who own these cars. Now, it is for the North Coast. It's unbelievable to have that sort of facility coming out of the ground.
Come on. Yeah. You see, doesn't that just play so beautifully into everything we're talking about here? Getting people excited and, you know, making the lifestyle that goes along with motoring that much more exciting, hey?
Do you get a free parking when you buy your villa, or do you get a free villa when you buy your parking?
I like the way you think.
All will be revealed in a future episode of Backfire. you're catching it here on a Wednesday on Radio Life and Style. It's only episode 2, man. We're still getting up to speed. We're still we're just warming up the engine. But I like where this thing's heading, man. It's got wheels. And I can't wait to see how things continue to roll as we drive off into the sunset with this thing. It's definitely going to become, I think, a favorite. It might actually have to outgrow the live thing. We might have to book a podcast space so we can really let it roll. Hey,
we've got a lot of background stuff going on, stuff we do with the cars that we're testing in the background, and we're going to try and make it bring our personalities through. So we're going to have a lot of fun with these cars.
Rocking stuff. You're going to be hearing it here. For now, Wednesday, set your calendars, put it in your diary, 10 o'clock sharp. We'll get the wheel spinning again. Same time next week, gentlemen. In the meantime, Anton, go test some more seats. And Dave, leave your prejudices towards particular brands to one side. I can't wait to see and hear what you get behind the wheel of next week.
Jeep.
And Jeep. Really?
Yeah, Jeep.
Is it already decided?
Yeah, we've got it now. We're gonna put it through its paces. But just quickly, you know, obviously with the weather, I was playing with the climate control. And with this dual zone climate control, I've never really played with it. I'm a kind of drive with your window open kind of guy. But with this weather, I've tried to put the heater on. And then I'm playing with it. And, you know, of course, you've got the passenger side, and then you've got the driver's side where you can change your temperatures. And, I mean, we're sitting pretty close in the car. And I kind of thought to myself, when is that function actually needed? You know, unless you're a Nigerian giving a Eskimo a lift. I mean, the car's one temperature, so
I'm going to leave it at that, right? I'm not going to even try and expand on that analogy. we will be diving in deep and finding out all about the Jeep. Which particular model are we looking at next week?
The Jeep Wrangler.
The Wrangler. Hey, we're going to wrangle that one. And guys, in the meantime, bundle up. Turn the heater up. All one temperature.
All around.
We'll catch you next Wednesday for another Backfire.